America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I have a number of things to discuss this morning, and then Alan Stang will be back with us at 8 a.m. to cover a series of things we didn't get a chance to talk about last week when he was here to speak about his new book. Alan wanted to talk about feminism and the war in Iraq and a series of other things that are dear to his heart on this August 7th, Tuesday. So we're going to bring him back and cover some of those topics as well. I wanted to ask Alan some questions about the George Wallace shooting from May of 1972, because Alan Stang is well-nigh acknowledged on the American right to be the only person extant who really looked into the Wallace shooting in the aftermath of what happened in Laurel, Maryland in May of 1972. I was going to Iolani High School in Honolulu at that time when I received the news of the Wallace shooting. Arthur Bremer, of course, was charged and convicted with shooting Governor Wallace. But who was behind Arthur Bremer? Alan Stang has delved more deeply into that subject than anyone else that I am aware of. And hopefully when we get Alan in this morning around 8, we'll spend an hour or two with him talking about a series of things, including the work that he did on that Wallace case, lo, these 35 years ago. AP is reporting this morning that the Iraqi political crisis is growing, as if that should be any surprise to anyone. This, by the way, is also the 62nd anniversary of the American atomic bombing of Hiroshima. When we look at Baghdad, AP is saying that Iraq's political crisis worsened Monday as five more ministers announced a boycott of cabinet meetings, leaving the embattled prime minister's unity government with no members affiliated with Sunni political factions. AP is saying that a suicide bomber killed at least 28 people in a northern city, including 19 children, some playing hopscotch and marbles in front of their homes. And the American military reported five new U.S. deaths. Four soldiers were killed in a combat explosion in Rasht-e Diyala province north of the capital Monday, and a soldier was killed and two were wounded during fighting in eastern Baghdad on Sunday. The new cracks in Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's government appeared even as U.S. military officials sounded cautious notes of progress on security, citing strides against insurgents linked to al-Qaeda in Iraq, but also new threats from Iranian-backed Shiite militias. Despite the new U.S. accusations of Iranian meddling, the U.S. and Iranian ambassadors met Monday for their third round of talks in just over 2 months. A U.S. embassy spokesman called the talks between U.S. Ambassador Ryan Crocker and his counterpart Hassan Kazemi Koumi frank and serious, quote-unquote. But it was al-Maliki's troubles that seized the most attention. The cabinet boycott of five ministers loyal to former Iraqi leader Ayad Alawi left the government, at least temporarily, without participants who were members of the Sunni political apparatus, a deep blow to the prime minister's attempt to craft reconciliation among the country's majority Shiites and minority Sunnis and Kurds. The defense minister is from a Sunni background but has no political ties and was chosen by al-Maliki. The Alawi bloc, a mixture of Sunnis and Shiites, cited al-Maliki's failure to respond to its demands for political reform. The top Sunni political bloc already had pulled its six ministers from the 40-member cabinet of al-Maliki, a Shiite, last week. Iraqi President Jalal Talabani, who has been trying to broker the Sunni bloc's return in a bid to hold the government together, met Monday with Crocker and a White House envoy. In Washington, AP is saying that State Department spokesman Sean McCormick said the United States was working well with the al-Maliki government, but he did not give the kind of enthusiastic endorsement that President Bush and his aides once did. Surprise to surprise, folks. We're in it now, aren't we? We'll be back. This is Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Alan Stang will join us at 8 a.m. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour.
$15 for 2 hours.
And $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting. 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today, because you can handle the truth.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Including feminism, the George Wallace shooting, and a series of other things that Alan Stang is an acknowledged expert on, coming to us from the real American right. I used to read Alan's columns many years ago, by the way, when I was a young person, and he was writing for the Review of the News. And I came across his work on the George Wallace shooting quite a number of years ago, and I've never seen anything quite like it in terms of the investigative angles that he has developed on this over the course of 35 years. And I wanted him to bring a little bit of that into play in our conversation this morning, which will hopefully start around 8 a.m. Central Time. Greg Felton was on yesterday, and we were talking, among many other things, about the Minneapolis bridge collapse as a metaphor for what seems to be the larger collapse of America, due to the sapping of America's strength in the support of a globalist New World Order that is tied up with the Zionist entity. Greg, I think, would agree with that statement. I know I would. I'm confident that Matthias Chang would as well over in Malaysia. His books talk about the Zionist Anglo-U.S. military alliance and all of what that means. We're seeing a lot of this beginning to collapse, aren't we? Especially with what we read today of the al-Maliki governmental situation in Iraq and the ongoing suicide bombings and the what is clearly a political and economic and military quagmire for the United States and Mesopotamia that could conceivably get worse, both in Mesopotamia as well as in Afghanistan. And if we do attack Iran, I think that the entire lid will come off of this situation. We'll keep an eye on it, but when we look at what has happened in our own country in terms of open borders, rapid increases in crime, the destruction of the manufacturing sector of our economy, spiritual and cultural declension in the entire nine yards, we think of what happened to these poor people in Minneapolis last week when that I-35W bridge collapsed, taking significant numbers of fine people to their deaths instantaneously. And we are reminded that our entire political and economic infrastructure could conceivably go the same way unless there is a major course of action that is a change from where we've been up to this point. I'm reminded of this in terms of what was on the front page of the London Financial Times yesterday. It was what Greg Felton and I talked about last week, and that is the whole issue of Bear Stearns and the derivatives crisis. Mike Whitney has already talked about this online a great deal. He has a new piece entitled Stock Market Meltdown. I don't think I'm going to read from it this morning, but you can find it at Dr. Michael Chosadovsky's globalresearch.ca site. If you read what Whitney has said there about the latest indications of the stock market meltdown, you'll see that it dovetails with what Greg Felton was talking about both yesterday as well as 8 days ago. And it dovetails now with the Bear Stearns decision to get rid of this CEO, to try and cover their bases in regard to what has begun to happen. How serious is this derivatives crisis? How serious is the hedge funds controversy and conflict and difficulty? How serious is the massive public and private debt that is amassed in this country? I think we can agree that this is a microcosm of a much larger issue and a much larger problem. And as Greg was pointing out yesterday, when you think about the Minneapolis bridge collapse and all of the other bridges and highways in this country that are deemed to be unsafe according to our own official inspections, and consider now what the politicians say is a shortcoming of funds, a short shrifting of funds in regard to being able to address some of these social problems and economic difficulties, we are still reminded that we have billions for Israel, including the latest $30 billion arms deal with them. Something is wrong, folks. Something is way wrong, and it's got to be fixed while there's yet time. By the way, I got a note from Mark Glenn this morning. He is going to be substituting for Michael Collins Piper on Michael's show for RBN this week. Mark Glenn will be on tonight and tomorrow night and Thursday night and Friday night on Michael Collins Piper's segment on the Republic Broadcasting Network. So let's support Mark and his very fine job as a substitute for Mike, and tune in to Michael Collins Piper's segment this evening and to listen to what Mark Glenn has to say on these subjects, and give Mark some calls this morning, or I should say this evening, in regard to asking him questions and providing appropriate commentary for that segment on RBN. I don't have the exact time of the start of Mike Piper's show right in front of me here, but it is this evening, and I believe all the times are posted on in the central standard time format on the RBN website. But check republicbroadcasting.org for the exact beginning of the show tonight, which will involve Michael Collins Piper's episode. And Ken is now telling me that the thing begins at 8 p.m., 8 p.m. Central. So tune that in for Mark Glenn on Michael Collins Piper's show, both tonight as well as tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday night. One other thing that you'll want to take a look at is Hesham Talawi's show on Current Issues TV. Former ambassador to Iraq, Edward Peck, is going to be on. Edward Peck, the former U.S. ambassador to both Mauritania and Iraq, is going to join Hesham Talawi tonight on Current Issues Television to discuss the real reasons why the U.S. attacked Iraq, It was not the weapons of mass destruction. They knew Iraq did not have any. I'm reading now from Hesham's show description. It was not the link to Al-Qaeda. They knew Iraq did not have any link there. It was not because Saddam killed his own people. They knew this because they gave him the arms. It was not to get the oil. They always had it. Then why? Join us to find out. This is the show description for tonight at 7:30 p.m. Central, where Ambassador Edward Peck will join Hesham Talawi on Current Issues Television. So you've got that to look forward to at 7:30 p.m., and then you've got Mark Glenn on Michael Collins Piper's show on RBN at 8 p.m. Central Time. And in both cases, you can listen either on a live basis or on an archived basis, but in either event, you will enjoy both of those offerings. You know, as we start looking at this whole business and what is really going on in this country and around the world, here's one for you that comes to us today from The Insider, theinsider.org. The new UK Prime Minister officially joins the Zionist movement. There's a subtitle here, tongue-in-cheek, that is listed as Brown and Israel. Even before his visit to Washington, Gordon Brown made it clear where he aligned himself on the world stage so far as the Middle East is concerned. This is in a piece entitled Brown Stresses Shared Values, July the 31st in The Guardian. Having agreed soon after he became Prime Minister to become a patron of the Jewish National Fund in the UK, it is already startlingly clear where his sympathies lie. The JNF has just pushed through the Knesset the first reading of a bill which would allow the Israel Lands Authority to lease land owned by the JNF to Jews only. If passed, the bill will effectively prevent any of the thousands of Muslims and Christians living in Israel from leasing or buying outright any land owned by the JNF. Brown's patronage has, at a stroke, already removed any hopes of perceived even-handedness in any dealings he may enter into over the Arab-Israeli situation in general and the Palestine-Israel situation in particular. The source on this, again, is a Guardian story, Brown and Israel, two stories of this type, the second dated 2 August 2007. But this comes to us today from The Insider at theinsider.org, quoting from these two entries from the British Guardian, one on the 31st of July entitled Brown Stresses Shared Values. On the 2nd of August, it's a piece entitled Brown and Israel. Very obvious what's happening there. Very little different, if at all, from what is going on in the United States, both in the executive branch of the government as well as in the legislative branch of the government. And quite clearly, this is something that has us where we presently are in this quandary in Iraq and in Afghanistan. It's absolutely incredible that Barack Obama was talking the other day about invading Pakistan without even a consultation with that government, invading Pakistan. No one has bothered to tell the Democratic side of the aisle what is going on in the world, because Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Edwards, in their own respective ways, are telegraphing the fact that they, too, much like Gordon Brown in Britain, much like the so-called main-tier, upper-tier candidates in the Republican Party, are all extensions of what Matthias Chang calls the Zionist Anglo-American military, economic, and political alliance worldwide that is running into troubles. And we don't need to go any farther than to look at the Bear Stearns controversy and the tragedy in Minneapolis last week and a level of public and private debt that is unlike anything we have seen in the history of the American Republic to figure out that it all links up with this business of empire. It all links up with a new world order that has the Zionist entity at its center, lock, stock, and barrel, and that has us going in a direction which will have us as the latest repristination of a dying Roman Empire. If things don't change very soon. There are those that believe it's already too late. That's for God to decide. We'll see. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Alan Stang will weigh in at about 8 o'clock this morning, Central Time. Going to talk about his research on the George Wallace shooting from 35 years ago, as well as a series of other topics. Stay tuned.
is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
We're back. Mark and Talk America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Alan Stang should be weighing in with us at right around 8 o'clock this morning. We're going to pick up a little bit of our conversation with Alan from last week where he was talking about his new book on the homosexualization of the Republican Party. We're also going to chat with him a great deal, hopefully, about his seminal research on the George Wallace shooting from May of 1972 and the way in which Alan Stang was proving himself as an investigative journalist many, many years before the rest of us were involved, many, many years before the internet technologies of today exist that allow us to do all kinds of things with the free exchange of information that were not possible 35 years ago. The Stang piece on the Wallace shooting has never been equaled, in my view, and I'd like to cover the implications of that shooting with him a little bit later on this morning, as well as to discuss some of Alan's current perceptions about the direction of the American Republic, including this whole business of feminism. Also last week, Alan indicated, of course, that he disagreed with some of my views on Iraq, which, by the way, both my listeners as well as my guests are free to charitably disagree with me anytime that they want to. That's part of the reason why I exist on this show, so that we can have a free exchange of ideas. I suspect that Alan has a greater degree of belief in the possible viability of this war in Iraq than I do, and we might cover that topic with him this morning if we get a chance to do it. I think we'll probably, over a two-hour period of time, be able to cover that one as well. That difference of opinion between Alan and myself might reflect some of the larger differences that exist on the American right when it comes to the wisdom of this effort or the particular way in which the effort is being pursued and prosecuted. That'll be fun to talk with Alan Stang about these things because, again, he is one of the living legends of real journalism on the American right, both in his original path, developing work for the Review of the News years ago, which later became the New American, and with all the things that Alan continues to do from time to time on his own, up to and including the publishing of this new book, which deals with the whole way in which the homosexual culture and the militant gay movement has been infiltrating the Republican Party, going all the way back to the time of the Reagan administration. What Alan Stang writes about in his new book is something that you're not going to see virtually anywhere else, and you're sure not going to see it in any of the promotional literature coming out of the Republican National Committee. You're not going to read about it in National Review or Human Events, which is why Alan Stang has been such a trailblazing figure for so many years on the American right in terms of investigative journalism. And I'm thankful that he's still plugging away all these many, many years later. He's as sharp as he was 35 years ago, and I think when you see the research that's in that book, you'll agree with me that that's exactly the case. And I just wanted to take him back again, among other things this morning, to the Wallace controversy to remind us once more of why it was and why it is that the American establishment has never insisted that the Wallace killing, the Wallace shooting, which later resulted in the governor's premature death, why the Wallace shooting never got the attention that the Kennedy assassinations and the King assassination did. And interestingly enough, there are many of us who believe that some of the same forces involved in those other tragedies were involved in this one as well. By the way, thinking about Gordon Brown today, the new Prime Minister of Britain, and what, of course, has been discussed about him in The Guardian in regard to his clear linkage to the Zionist lobby, I wonder what the Prime Minister plans to do about Eric Silver's piece today in the Independent UK, posted on the 7th of August, entitled "Tensions Between Israel and the UK Rise Over the Killing of Award-Winning Filmmaker." Silver reports that Israel's refusal to investigate the shooting of a British documentarian stirs a diplomatic fallout. Britain and Israel face a diplomatic and legal showdown this week over the death of James Miller, an award-winning British filmmaker who was shot by Israeli soldiers while working on a documentary in the Gaza Strip more than 4 years ago. Israel has failed to respond to an ultimatum issued by Lord Goldsmith, the former Attorney General, to his opposite number, Mehdi Mazouz, on 26 June to launch a criminal investigation within 6 weeks against the officer suspected of firing the fatal shot. The deadline expires tomorrow. Tel Aviv is refusing to be stampeded. In a previous case, that of a British student, Tom Herndahl, killed by an Israeli sniper in 2003, it eventually yielded to British pressure and court-martialed the soldier concerned. He was sentenced to 8 years in prison for manslaughter. The Army's first instinct, as shown in both cases, is to protect its soldiers. A military spokesman said that, quote, a cameraman who knowingly enters a combat zone, especially at night, endangers himself, unquote. Moshe Cohen, a spokesman for Israel's Justice Ministry, said in a written statement yesterday that an earlier British request had been thoroughly checked and a decision to close the Miller case had been reported to London, quote, now that the British authorities have decided once more to approach us, the matter will be attended to. A response will be provided in an acceptable fashion as soon as possible, in accordance with the timetables of the Israeli authorities, unquote. Do we have a British version of the Rachel Corrie death and cover-up in this country and in Tel Aviv? We'll see. Mark Ancos America will be back. Alan Stang joins us at 8 a.m. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase. Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Mark Dantos and Parker coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Alan Stang will join us at 8 o'clock. Among other things, we want to talk not only about his new book, which we chatted about for 2 hours last week, but we want to get into Alan's research from 35 years ago on the George Wallace shooting. I have always found Alan Stang to be the one and only person who really delved into the Wallace case, and I want to bring memories of some of that back into play here, not simply as far as what happened 3.5 decades ago to the Alabama governor in Laurel, Maryland, where he was campaigning for president, but to discuss with Alan Stang what he thinks the implications of that shooting continue to be today in regard to the truth that was never told. Why was the truth not told? Why was it not delved into? What are the implications for us today in regard to things that the establishment may have yet planned? That'll be Alan Stang at right around 8 o'clock this morning. A couple of other items. I've mentioned that Mark Glenn will be subbing tonight for Michael Collins Piper on the RBN network at 8 p.m. Mark Glenn is going to sub for Michael, and that's taking place tonight, tomorrow night, Thursday night, and Friday night. Mike Piper is taking a much-needed rest just for the week. And so Mark Glenn is going to pinch hit. Tune into those shows, 8 p.m. For the rest of this week, 8 p.m. Central Time. That's Mark Glenn substituting for Michael Collins Piper on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Hesham Talawi's Current Issues television show will be on tonight as well, as we've already discussed. U.S. Ambassador Edward Peck is going to join Hesham to talk about the real reason why the United States invaded Iraq. It has nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction, has nothing to do with links to Al-Qaeda that don't exist, has nothing to do with Saddam's human rights record, because this didn't bother the United States for many years when we were bankrolling this guy. There's yet another reason, and Hesham will explore that with Ambassador Peck tonight at currentissues.tv. Back to what we were talking about here then, this whole business of Gordon Brown and his obvious links in Britain to the Zionist lobby. And yet we're now reading about a situation, according to Eric Silver in the Independent UK, that there are these diplomatic tensions that have arisen between Israel and the UK over the killing of an award-winning filmmaker. This goes back to what happened when a fellow by the name of James Miller. James Miller was shot to death by Israeli soldiers while working on a documentary in the Gaza Strip more than 4 years ago. And from what we read of the Silver piece in the first part of this conversation, it becomes abundantly clear that this in many respects mirrors the Rachel Corrie death, where she was killed by the Israeli Defense Forces in a well-publicized case from 4 years ago that on a prima facie basis seemed to suggest deliberate premeditated murder. As she was run over, you will recall, by a American Caterpillar tractor that was provided to the Israeli government by that American company. As far as we know, there was no serious diplomatic row that ensued between this government of ours and Israel over that Corey killing. It would appear that the situation between Britain and Israel could go the same way. So it'll be fascinating to watch this. We are now told, of course, that Mr. Miller's death, according to Eric Silver, was captured on video. It was included in the film Death in Gaza, released by HBO in 2004, which went on to win 3 Emmys. Mr. Miller had gone to the troubled region to film children on both sides of the conflict, but he was killed on his last day in Gaza before he could film the other side of the story. In April of 2006, a London jury at St. Pancras Coroner's Court returned a verdict of unlawful killing and said that Mr. Miller, age 34, had been murdered. The Israeli army had dropped the case for want, it said, of enough evidence to prove guilt beyond reasonable doubt. The coroner, Dr. Scott Reed, wrote to Lord Goldsmith, inviting him to, quote, consider starting criminal proceedings in the UK against members of the Israeli Defense Forces for an offensive willful killing, unquote. The only soldier who has been named, though only by rank and surname, is Lieutenant Haib, who commanded the armored vehicle from which the fatal shots were fired. To try him in Britain, Lord Goldsmith's successor, Baron of Scotland, would have to seek his extradition, which Israel would be expected to resist. Mr. Miller's family accused Israel of, quote, an abject failure to uphold the fundamental and unequivocal standards of international humanitarian and human rights law, unquote. They are suing the Israeli government and the Tel Aviv Magistrates Court for compensation. His wife Sophie said after the military investigation was closed, quote, the truth will come out and we hope the Israeli judicial system will mete out justice. This investigation does not serve the IDF, decent Israeli citizens, us, his family, and above all, James, unquote. Their Israeli lawyer, Michael Safard, said yesterday, quote, the family demands justice, both criminal and civil. They deserve that the man who shot their loved one for no reason whatsoever should be indicted and get what he deserves. As he left a widow and 2 children, they deserve to be compensated by the state of Israel. This is something that political and military echelons have promised time and again, but they have not fulfilled their promise so far, unquote. Mr. Miller was filming near Rafah in the southern Gaza Strip with Saira Shah, who was named Television Reporter of the Year in 2002 for Beneath the Veil and Unholy War. documentaries the two had shot for Channel 4 in her native Afghanistan. Mr. Miller, who doubled as a cameraman and director, had earlier won an Emmy and a Royal Television Society Award for films on Serbian massacres in Kosovo. He was an experienced war photographer, having covered conflicts in Lebanon, Sudan, and Algeria for a news agency. Death in Gaza shows the two journalists leaving the home of a Palestinian family in the turbulent Rafah refugee camp at night, carrying a white flag. They were accompanied by a local crew from AP Television. In an investigative report in October of 2003, the journalist John Sweeney wrote, quote, "They had walked about 20 meters from the veranda when the first shot rang out. The team froze. For 13 seconds, there is silence broken only by Cyrus' cry, quote, 'We are British journalists,' unquote. Then comes the second shot, which killed James. He was shot on the front of his neck. The bullet was Israeli issue, fired, according to a forensic expert, from less than 200 meters away. Immediately after the shooting, the IDF said that James had been shot in the back during crossfire. It later retracted the assertion about where in his body he was shot, but until today it has maintained that he was shot during crossfire. There was no crossfire on the APTN tape," unquote. Israeli and British forensic studies produced conflicting results. The Israeli said that acoustic tests on the videotape indicated that there were six shots. The second hit Mr. Miller. Not all the shots, the Israeli said, came from the same source. So they could not prove beyond reasonable doubt that the fatal shot came from Lieutenant Hyatt's gun. Similar tests by Scotland Yard concluded that the first three shots came from a single source, the Israeli armored car. In an interview distributed to promote the Death in Gaza DVD, Ms. Shah admitted that they were worried about filming in Gaza, particularly Rafah. She accused Israeli soldiers of lack of respect for human life. That's the interesting story today from Eric Silver of the Independent UK, posted on August 7th today. It's entitled "Tensions Between Israel and the UK Rise Over the Killing of an Award-Winning Filmmaker." This involves the death again of James Miller, an award-winning British filmmaker who was shot by Israeli soldiers while working on a documentary in the Gaza Strip more than 4 years ago. Where, folks, is Gordon Brown, the Prime Minister of Britain, on this? He is missing in action. He's missing in action for the same reasons that Mr. Bush was missing in action and is missing in action in regard to the Rachel Corrie death in Palestine 4 years ago. This young American girl from Olympia, Washington, was obviously murdered by the Israeli Defense Forces. All of the available evidence points in that direction. And yet between Mr. Bush and a Congress that has refused to investigate this case, we see once again why it is that the tail wags the dog. Greg Felton identified this yesterday. This is the character of the relationship between Israel and its surrogates. Israel is in control of the UK and the United States in terms of foreign policy. The Israeli lobby has a stranglehold on this political process in both countries. The Israeli lobby has a disproportionate influence for all of the obvious reasons in terms of corporate news media. Where is corporate media in regard to covering this event? You know, you can look today, folks, at the American newspapers and the corporate media, and you will not find this story, at least posted anywhere that's prominent. We have had to turn to Eric Silver of the Independent UK to even find out about this case. Why is that? I think, once again, it indicates that there's a very, very serious problem here. Now, the late Mr. Miller's wife has indicated that all of this suggests that the Israeli Defense Force has no respect for human life. I believe that to be true. And in saying that, I have to say that the James Miller death, much like the earlier Rachel Corrie death, is a microcosm of a much larger problem related to Israeli policy generally. If we go back to Deir Yassin and to what happened in the ethnic cleansing of that Arab city in Palestine in the early days of the attempt to formulate the Israeli Zionist state, we find a truism that has continued to run throughout Israeli history and all the years since, and that is that they have no respect for human life. They are operating according to a Jewish theory of racial supremacism. They believe that somehow, some way, anything that they do is justifiable because of the Jewish racial supremacist ideology, which says that they are the chosen people and are above reproach when it comes to accountability for anything that they do. And in turn, their very skillful infiltration of world governments through central banking and through media control and through a bought and paid for political process in allegedly Republican countries like Britain and the United States very definitely explains how all of this has happened. The problem is this. How sustainable is this policy, not simply morally, but politically and economically and militarily? Britain found out ultimately that it could not sustain these policies. It had to retreat from Palestine in any meaningful way in terms of what they had been involved with in the earlier stages of the 20th century. We also discover now, of course, that the United States, all these years later, is running into the same catastrophe that Britain did in an earlier age. Folks, history is replete with examples where we have to follow the lessons of history. We are not doing that, and therefore history suggests that we're going to go the same way as the British Empire. That gets back into the observation and question that one of our callers had yesterday for Greg Felton. Greg's book, of course, is entitled The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. What happens for the parasite when the host dies? When the host dies, in this case, when the United States dies as a result of this entire situation. Overextension of military empire, moral decadence, public and private debt that is beyond belief. When all of those things coalesce into the end of the American empire, what is Israel going to do then? Well, science tells us that a parasite then has to find a new host. Who will the host be? That'll be an interesting thing to watch as far as how that plays out. But make no mistake about it. Greg Felton's book is suggestive of what we see every day in the news media, and that is that the parasite is draining strength from the host. The host is in the process of dying, a very, very slow and painful and nonetheless obvious death. This is why I feel the way that I do about this war in Iraq. This is why I feel the way that I do about what is presently happening in Afghanistan and in Persia. Aside from the fact that it's destroying my own country, I don't like the idea at all that we are doing something in these locations that is creating an entirely new generation and set of enemies for us worldwide. I don't like the idea that we are stirring up something in the world that is ultimately unsustainable. This war on terror, as Mark Anderson was pointing out the other day on Thursday, this war on terror is such a nebulous, indefinable, ungraspable situation that it's kind of like declaring war on gravity, as Mark Anderson put it. Declare war on gravity. Find out how successful you will be in defeating gravity worldwide, right? Same thing with this war on terror. This is an insane concept. There are not enough men and women, not enough dollars, not enough political solutions that exist in the cosmos to sustain what we're doing. That's just my take on the whole thing. And by the way, as long as we're considering the AP story this morning about the al-Maliki government and the fact that it's obviously coming apart like a cheap suit, and both the Sunnis and Shiites are doing their respective parts to destroy the weakness of the American policy in Iraq, this is accentuated for us by the report yesterday in the BBC and in the Washington Post that Juan Cole talks about today, and that is that there are 190,000 American guns that are now missing in Iraq. Did you see that story? Juan Cole says that the Bush administration is clueless as to where 190,000 machine guns and pistols went. And believe it or not, that may be one of their smaller problems in Iraq right now, as Juan Cole states it. Now, Cole goes on to remind us about incredibly stupid statements made by Republican presidential candidates on Iraq as recently as Sunday. Contrast Ron Paul, who stands alone as a man of brilliance and as a man of principle and perception, with these statements made by Mr. McCain, Mr. Giuliani, and Mr. Romney. Listen to this, folks. This is what McCain said on Sunday in Iowa. Quote, "They are making progress, and we are winning on the ground. We must win, and we will not set a date for surrender, as the Democrats want us to do." Here's Giuliani. Quote, "The reality is that you do not achieve peace through weakness and appeasement." And then here's Mr. Romney. Quote, "I think we're pretty much in the same place. It is critical for us to win this conflict. It is essential. And that's why we're going to continue to pursue this effort," unquote. Juan Cole mirrors what Mark Anderson of the American Free Press was talking about on this show last Thursday. Cole says, "Could they please define win the conflict? What would that look like? Whose ox would they gore to achieve it? How exactly would they pull it off?" This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back, and Alan Stank will join us at 8 a.m. Stay tuned.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been covering a couple of news items in the first part of the show today, talking about this whole business of the diplomatic row between Israel and Britain over the death of this British filmmaker, James Miller. Miller was killed in the Gaza a few years ago while filming a documentary under circumstances that seem to suggest what a formal inquest in London has now claimed, and that is that Israel killed this guy deliberately, that it was an act of murder, that it was not a case of mistaken identity. In other words, we've got the same themes here that we do with the USS Liberty situation from 1967 in regard to what clearly was Israel's deliberate attack on the Liberty then and what clearly was the official cover-up that followed. And again, this Miller case is just like the Rachel Corrie case where we lost this young lady from Olympia, Washington, 4 years ago, who was protesting the Israeli uprooting of Palestinian neighborhoods and villages and homes and was run over by a Caterpillar tractor in what appears to be a deliberate act of murder on the part of the IDF. The Miller case, the Corrie case, the USS Liberty situation, of course, they're all suggestive of a very, very serious problem in that part of the world. And where is Gordon Brown on this? Where is George Bush on this? Where is the Parliament in Britain? Where is the United States Congress? Where is the news media in these various locales? I think you're beginning to get the picture. As I mentioned earlier, Mark Lynn will be on tonight on Michael Collins Piper's show for the Republic Broadcasting Network at 8 p.m. Mark Lynn is substituting for Mike tonight and tomorrow night and Thursday night and Friday night. Be sure to tune in. Also, Dr. Hesham Talawi tonight on Current Issues Television has U.S. Ambassador Edward Peck on. Peck is going to be telling us about the real reason why the United States invaded Iraq. That'll be on Dr. Hesham Talawi's show. But also like to say that this is your opportunity to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. We need you like we've never needed you before. Contact us at republicbroadcasting.org or give us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Support us, folks, with your regular gifts. These are tough times, I know, economically. There are those of you who are faithful listeners who are not in a position to help us, and we understand that. But for those of you who can, even in ways that might seem small to you, it's very large to us. Please help us, and please help us now and on a regular basis as your heart is moved to do so and as your budget permits. And in regard to supporting the Republic Broadcasting Network, I also think about our fine friends at the American Free Press. You can get a subscription to AFP at 1-800-699-NEWS. That's 1-800-699-NEWS. They also need your help as well. Congressman Ron Paul needs you. Mark Dankos America needs you. This is a joint effort, folks. We're running out of time. Help us to help you survive in these dark days. We'll be back with Alan Stang. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
A message for all.